The devil with such wrath knows he has to change his strategy. And the strategy is this. I'm going after their very faith. I'm going after their homes, their marriages. I'm going to try to paralyze every spiritual man and woman on the face of the earth.
There's something in you that says, I can do more. This just can't be it. There's something in you. There's a calling on your life. But I got a saying, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what's in store for you if you challenge yourself, if you persist and persevere.
Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. My name is Cole Davis. Welcome to The Lion's Path. This is a show dedicated to deliverance. It's dedicated to spiritual issues, relationship building, most of all, and overcoming things that stop that from happening, overcome things that rob your joy and rob your peace and rob everything in your life that the Father intends for you to have according to the scriptures. So I pray everybody is doing well. It looks like we can do some amazing things here. So this is very cool. Alrighty, so I don't know when you're celebrating. Like, it seems like every year Passover is all over the place. If you have celebrated, I wish you a happy feast, Chag Sameach. If you're celebrating next week like we are, I pray that you're anticipating and cleaning the leavening out of your house and getting ready like we all are. And that's kind of what the focus of these shows lately have been. But tonight, like, I went out today and I was praying. I said, Father, what do you want me to talk about tonight? And nothing came. I was like, okay. And normally when that happens, I try to sit down, write nothing. I was like, oh, question and answer. And the second I posted, we're doing question and answer. People were like, oh, thank you that we're doing question and answer. That's awesome. So, all right. So, let me see here. What else are we doing? Oh, okay. So, big news kind of snuck up on me. But thankfully, it didn't overtake me. Next week, Yah willing, is our 200th episode. That is our 200th episode. I can't believe it. But next week, I want to ask you, as those of you who listen to this, those of you who have been blessed by this, I pray that you would consider, sending in something. If the Lion's Path has been a blessing to you, if the Father has used our show, used this ministry to bless you in any way, we're not doing this as an I love me session. We're doing this to celebrate with you. And many people have asked already, if you would like to send in a testimonial, you could send it here to the Facebook page of On That Day Ministries, where we're broadcasting from, or you can send it to my email, onthatdayministries@gmail.com. I am beyond excited. I cannot believe that it's already here. It is very humbling, to be honest with you. I didn't know what I was going to talk about past six shows. So next week we're going to talk testimony. And then I don't know why, but just in my gut today, I was thinking, you know how they do those Reddit ask me anything type things? Next week you can do that as well. So anything about me, our family, the way we do things, the ministry, whatever it may be. So I'll do my best. If it's abusive, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you right now. But and there seems to be a spirit among us where people are becoming very, very on edge, it feels like, out there right now. And some people are getting very offended very easily, and some are very adamant that their way of doing things is the right way. And it might not be. I know that's a scary thought for some. But a couple of announcements. Let's see here. Oh, I have to send a big thank you to our supporters. We are being supported financially, and I can tell you that I'm going to see two families this weekend that are a decent distance away. I don't even have to ask for money because it's already there, and I'm very, very grateful for all of your help, all of your support, and the Father is providing a way for deliverance to come to these people's homes and to their lives, and that's what we're here to do, and you help us in that. And if you would like to continue in that, or if you'd like to take part in that, onthatday.org, and you can hit a donate button at the bottom and become part of that. I mean, I believe that it's really happening, and I'm very, very, very grateful. Let's see. Oh, United in Worship, May 10th through the 11th. I'm excited. Literally a month away, 29 days away. In Atlanta, Georgia, go to unitedinworship.org. I'm very excited. I was so overwhelmed by the success of Fort Mill, South Carolina, with Matthew Vanderels' congregation hosting. And I'm going to have mezuzahs that I've hand burned, and I'm going to have t-shirts, and we're going to have a good time. And I look forward to meeting all of you. And Godly Men of Valor, gmvevents.com. If you're interested in hosting one, if you'd like more information, if you'd like to support, gmvevents.com. We just launched the new website. Thank you to a dear brother who volunteered his time, and we're very grateful for him. I mean, that website looks amazing. And let's see here. What else we got? Let's see. Somebody's already asking questions. All right, we're going to do our best. Okay, so, and then sacredapparel.net. I am now on board with them. I'm doing my best to get them t-shirt designs from my artwork and things like that. And we are now a partner with them. Sacredapparel.net, they have been very blessed. The response has been very good. They're having a hoodie sale right now, and I took advantage of it. Many people have. Amazing prices right now. They're trying to liquidate for the summer. Go in there and get one. I mean, I think it's like $15 for a hoodie. Amazing price. So get in there while the supplies last. Let's see here. Okay. I know, you know, we can't really talk commerce, but at the same time, that's a family who is Hebrew, who's trying to spread the word and giving good products at the same time, and our supporters in prayer for us and us for them. Let's see here. Yeah. So awesome. We're going to have a great time tonight, and I definitely want to open in prayer. And I want to say to the Father, pray to the Father that everything that happens here is His will and His guard. So, Heavenly Father, we just bless You and praise You for this time tonight. We bless You and praise You for everyone listening. And we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and grace on all of us as we all struggle to find the light in the darkness. We find our way back home to You. And I pray that we would continue to seek Your face so earnestly. And we praise You and bless You in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so before we get started, so we've been talking for a couple weeks about getting the leavening out, and we've talked about a couple things. But at the same time, keep in mind, leavening is only part of it. Leavening is part of this season. Really, leavening, the getting the leavening out precedes the leaving Egypt. We are being delivered by a mighty outstretched arm. We are being brought to a place of fellowship and revelation, of intimacy, of protection. So not only are we getting rid of the things that puff us up, we have to have the mindset that we are leaving an unclean place and walking toward a promise, walking toward a covenant, walking toward revelation, all those type of things. We are walking toward Yeshua. And so this week, just keep that in mind as you prepare, if you're celebrating in the midst of counting the Omer, wherever you are on the calendar. I gave up calendar a long time ago. So I definitely wanted to open tonight with, you know, I sat down today and I was like, you know, I tried to write something and I heard rage and anger. And I have to address this. This time of year, the enemy is at work doing his best. If we're trying to get rid of leavening, he's trying to put it back in. He's trying to puff it up. And one of the surefire signs that you are dealing with something is that rage and anger. Now, it may not be possession, it may not even be oppression, but there's something being touched in you this time of year where you are either fighting against the adversary, you're fighting against the Father, and you need to determine which one it is. If it's trying to get you to leave behind a sin and it feels convicting, that's the Father. If it feels accusatory, that's the enemy. Because if it is convicting, the Father will be leading you to repentance and restoration. But on the path to repentance and restoration is also humility, which is what we're fighting against. The adversary, if he is pointing to a sin, he is using accusation to try to keep you from repenting, trying to make you believe that there is no way that you can be restored, no way that you can be lifted up, no way that the Father's grace is that powerful. The direct lie. Do you hear the lie? So understand that overcoming, sometimes we overcome our flesh, sometimes we overcome him. But what we're overcoming to get to is Mount Sinai, to get into the presence, to hear his voice, to hear that shofar blast, to see the fire and the smoke and all those things. So let's see. Somebody asked a question. If you pray seeking counsel from the Father, how do you know that you truly have gotten your answer? Thanks. That's a great question. That is a great question. I can tell you that most of the time, unless it's a dire situation, most of the time the answer will be revealed rather than spoken. I have found that when I pray for an answer, the Father will oftentimes even, so there is no mistaking it, He will go to a circumstance rather than just a flat-out spiritual voice in my head or in my heart. It'll be revealed, and then all of a sudden, I can tell you right now that if you repent of doubt before you ask, you know, Father, I'm not sure if I'm hearing you. Well, that's you're struggling with doubt. I mean, that's just flat out. And there's other things you could be struggling with, but let's deal with that one. And so when you come to the Father and you're struggling with doubt already, you're already kind of off on the wrong foot. So when you pray to hear His voice or pray for His counsel and you're not sure if you're hearing it, you're struggling with doubt. So let's repent of that. Father, I repent of doubt. I repent that I'm not really trusting that You'll speak or whatever it may be, however, whatever you're struggling with. I don't believe that I have the ability to hear. I don't believe that I have the ability to trust You. I don't, you know, or I don't have the ability to walk out what You say, whatever it may be. But at the same time, in the Father, when you get your answer, it is so overwhelmingly powerful that it's like, Father, You are real. There's no doubt that that is from You. In those moments when He answers me, especially, I prefer when He answers me in circumstance rather than a word. I can trust, I feel like I can trust that a little bit more because it's so unbelievably, like all of a sudden you just have this moment where you're like, boy, that's You, Father, that's You all over. So open up in your mind every avenue for Him to talk to you, for Him to give you your answer, and do your best to remove your doubt. That's my question. I hope that answered yours, or that's my answer. So, is it wrong to rely on fleeces as an answer when you don't know what to do? Boy, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Obviously, the answer is no, because the Father did honor that with Gideon. At the same time, Gideon had no doubt that the Father wanted him to do something. Gideon had no doubt that I don't believe Gideon was looking for doubt. I believe he was looking for confirmation. Big difference. I don't believe he was testing the Father to see if the Father was actively involved. Testing the Father, which is, I think, is probably the question behind the question, because you're going, is it wrong? The real answer is in my opinion, that when you begin to do the fleece thing, you really have to check your motive to see if you're testing the Father, to see, are you who you say you are? Will you fulfill what you say you will do? When David says, what speaks in Psalms, he's talking about, I know you are who you say you are. Do what you say you will do. You know, he's standing on the word of Elohim. At the same time, is it wrong? Obviously not, but I would be very cautious about our motives for doing it. And I hope that answers your question. Oftentimes the Father will just simply wait for you to make a decision. You know, many times in my life, I'll sit there and go, Father, what do you want me to do? And I'll go, well, I'm not hearing, so let me choose. And the second I choose, I'll hear Him go, and I'll go, okay, I'll choose the other way. You know, so it's kind of like He's waiting for me to grow up and mature. And He's making, it's kind of like when you want to watch a teenager, right? A three-year-old does not make his own decisions. He doesn't have the wisdom. But at the same time, you're trying to teach a teenager to gain wisdom and to rely on wisdom. So you allow them a little more freedom to make their decisions. And oftentimes He might be doing that at this stage in your walk and going, let me see what you will choose, you know? So don't always expect a sign, and that removes, and oftentimes the other thing that seeking a sign like that, if you're not, and I know it's a fleece and not a sign, but you've got to be very careful with this. Oftentimes it's really, I'm looking for knowledge instead of faith. Well, knowledge and faith are two different things. You know, knowledge, faith is based in hope. Knowledge is based in fact. So be very careful about relying on signs and wonders and all that type of stuff. Gideon did it. The Father honored it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but what I'm going to tell you is that we have to be very careful about our motives. So Brother Johnny here says, so I'm at a crossroads. I was recently sharing about an experience I had with an individual while I was at my daily prayer that I do at the City Pavilion. It was expressed to me by a trusted brother in regards to Yeshua's comments on the topic of praying on street corners. I always took this as a matter to heart. Now I'm seeking some counsel on this matter. I'm sort of stuck in studying on the matter. Johnny, you're going to have to actually give me a question there. Number one, reaching people. I believe that's a very specific ministry. I definitely don't have that anointing. At least I don't know. The Father has yet to reveal that in me. So I believe that, you know, preaching on a street corner for sure is something that is very, very needed. I believe there are those that we need a voice in the public square. And if you feel that that's your calling and mission, then you need to walk that out. So don't get bogged down in intellect sometimes. And when, see, Hebrews are horrible at this. Well, you might want to study that out. Well, yeah, you need to study that. You also need to pray about it. Because in the scriptures, you see over and over again, yeah, I know the word, and Yeshua is going, okay, not to take this word a step further, go into this aspect of walking the word out, which is a big difference between understanding and walking. So be very, you know, Hebrews are horrible at this because we get bogged down in committee. We go, well, I need to study this. Well, you may not have time to study. When the signs come, you don't have time for your coat. You're either going to run like the Bible says we will do, or you're going to be bogged down and wait for a sign when the sign's already happening. So when it comes to following your anointing, I can tell you right now, no amount of Bible study will convince you to do it. You have to step out on faith many, many times. Okay. All righty. What is the best way to find out your purpose and or your spiritual gift? Well, I can tell you this. One, continue to gain. If your purpose and your spiritual gift have not been revealed yet, continue to gain character. Go through experiences that allow it to be revealed. And what you will find out is that you will find as you live life, you're going to continue to walk forward no matter what. And those experiences are going to bring out that strife, that struggle of life, and sometimes that desire and that wonders. You know, Moses didn't truly get the word of the purpose of his life, the reason he was put on this planet, till he was 80 years old. Now, I pray that that doesn't, you know, Brother Dylan, I pray that that doesn't happen to you. I believe that because you're hungry for it and you're looking for it, he's probably going to reveal it to you very soon. But at the same time, when we try to rush ahead of him and guess, that's a dangerous thing. I'm not saying you're doing that. But at the same time, continue to grow in wisdom. Somebody had a great quote, and it was about education. It was about education. Education is fertilizer for your purpose in life. It is not the seed. It prepares the ground. It adds richness to the soil. So what I would ask you to do is continue to grow in where the Father wants you to learn from rather than what is the definitive answer. And I can tell you this, when your purpose in life comes and when you find out your spiritual gift, I don't know anybody in the scriptures that when that day came, they weren't scared to death when it showed up. And you're going to go, because it touches something in your DNA. It touches something. It harkens back to the womb when he spoke in your ear while you were still in your mother's womb. I have called you from the womb, Jeremiah, to be a prophet unto the nation. It's going to touch something so primeval in you. It's going to be amazing and horrifying at the same time. You're immediately going to say, there is no way I can do this. And the context of that is, there's no way I can do this without him. So what I would suggest that you do while you're waiting on that revelation, continue to grow and learn and watch what happens when that ground is prepared for that seed of purpose to be planted into. As far as finding it out, prayer is the only way. Seeking him is the only way. Hearing somebody else tell you, I want to hear it from him and I want it confirmed by a righteous holy witness on the other side, but I want the holy righteous witness after, not before. I don't want to lead the witness, you know, that kind of thing. So, okay. Hope that answers your question, Brother Dylan. All right. Boy, we are rolling. When there's a feeling of deep anguish that overcomes me, this is Sister Teresa, and I seek the Father to reveal what was hidden and then I repent. If I can't shake the oppression, and the Father keeps that feeling there, is it good to shift the focus and pray for others walking through the same issues, learning to intercede for the community instead of just self? I'm going to say yes and. When I have found in my life, when I am going through those moments, and I was just talking to my wife today about this, and I'll get to that in a minute, but when I am praying for an oppressive feeling to be lifted off of me, most of the time when I'm praying for is relief. But it's that oppressive anguish that is going to push me to the next level. It's going to cause me and my walk to deepen. Something happened recently with a friend of mine, and he was having an issue with a spirit of offense about something. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, that sounded just like me 4 years ago. It's amazing now to see how thick my skin has gotten regarding ministry. And that's not tooting my own shofar, because that really was not a fun experience, gaining that toughness. But keep in mind, Nehemiah led the people of Israel from Babylon, or from the exile, back to Jerusalem because of the anguish he was going through. He didn't lessen it. The Father used it. So the answer to your question is yes, but also, Father, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to do? Or I trust you that you have me in your hand as I walk through this valley of the shadow of death. That's a tough word. And boy, I'll tell you, that is when this walk gets hard. That is when this walk gets very tough. And I can tell you that anybody who doesn't get that look on their face most likely has not gone through it. Where we all kind of look at each other and go, yep, you can tell who's got the scars, who's got the character, who's got the conditioning, because they've been through some stuff. They've got the character to back it up. When things get tough, they don't fall to pieces. They continue to move forward. So I don't like the experiences that I went through. I do not, but at the same time, now that I'm on the other side, I would not change that at all. So I pray, Sister Teresa, as you, yes, intercede, always intercede, but at the same time, Father, what are you trying to turn me into here? What are you trying to turn me into? And it's that pressure and that conviction that comes, okay? All right, let's see what we got. Let's see here, anybody else? Now you got, I got a ton of things. So I will tell you this, that as we get ready, so keep your questions coming, guys, because this is good. I'm trying to hit them. I thought I had more than that, but that's okay. Let's see. Somebody says, I see that you have a lot of books behind you on your shelf. I'm new to this page, and I know you have a lot to, I know I have a lot to learn. What's the best book on your shelf or that you have read that would be good for someone who is just beginning to learn? Okay, well, if you're just beginning to learn about why we do what we do in the Hebrews, First Fruits of Zion, the book that really solidified what we were doing and confirmed, and I think it's still out there in print. You can find it on Amazon. It was called Restoration, and I can't remember who it's by. I think I gave my copy to somebody. I think I did. Now, spiritual warfare books, I can tell you that there are many to choose from. The one that I rely on, and I think I got it over here somewhere, maybe. Yeah, M. Scott Peck, Glimpses of the Devil, a psychiatrist's view of deliverance and, you know, and the enemy. I wanted the facts, and he wrote it like a scientist, and that's what I wanted. And that was so helpful to me, and it demystified the whole thing for me. He goes, this is what I saw. Here's my conclusion. And I like it. I want that. I didn't want anybody's interpretation just yet. I'm willing to learn from people, but at the same time, I'm going, what did you actually see? So that was one that I really, really liked. So, okay. Yeah, I think you're right, Sombra. Restoration is Daniel Lanka. I think you're absolutely right on that. That was one. Another one that I really enjoyed, Christianity Reconsidered. Kind of a tough word, but it's but that's another one. It really kind of put some things in perspective. I know that people have a lot of strong opinions on him, but back when I was beginning to learn, I still think one of the best teachings on why we do what we do is Monty Judah's Basics of Our Faith set, his CD series. Tremendous. Mike Clayton is a great foundation guy, and why we do what we do, reestablishing our identity as Israel. Of course, Brad Scott, all those guys I recommend. So pray that, Sombra said white cover. That's the one. So that's it. So, yeah, and then Deborah Spires writes, Who is Israel by Batya Wooten, another great one. I love her stuff. So Teresa writes again, is there anything specific that a believer should clean out of their spiritual walk before Pesach, getting rid of the leavening out of our lives? I really think what's being laid on me this year is the spirit of offense. When it's like we are not out of the culture when it comes to that subject. My Hebrew brothers, hear me on this. We are not out of the culture as much as we think we are, because we are still using the instruments of our culture, and we still step into the traps. And we'll be back in a few minutes. I just got the music, so I will be back here in a little bit. We'll continue. Hey, welcome back. Thank you for joining us this evening. The show is flying. You guys are asking some great questions. we're going to keep going on. I was saying during the break that it's great to hear my children get excited about the Feast of Yah. The way that I used to get excited about that December holiday, they get excited about the feasts. And that to me is so fulfilling. I pray you have the same situation in your house. So, okay, let's see here. Where are we going? Okay, so Sister Tori here writes, how do I know if the trial I'm going through is my will or Yah's will? Sometimes I have peace, and sometimes I have anxiety creep up, making me question the peace. I will say this, Tori. That is that's one of the best illustrations, definitions, however you want to say it, of what a trial feels like. Because that's the whole point of a trial. And I can tell you this, that oftentimes these trials that come upon us, the Father does not want us to go through, yet the prince of this world does what he does. At the same time, the Father uses those moments for his glory still. And so what I would pray that as you're going through this, and as you're dealing with everything you're dealing with, and whatever the trial is, I pray that you would continue to overcome that anxiety. That is part of the trial. See, faith is that constant overcoming of doubt. Well, trial is that constant overcoming of the desire to quit or to give up or to give in. And when you go through these things, all of these adversities, all this struggle, all this trial creates that character, that endurance, all of those things. And the end result is a toughness and a spiritual grit that the enemy actually can never take away from you. And at the end of it, you continue to press forward no matter what. So that is one of the very definitions of trial. I think that's one of the best illustrations I've ever seen. So pray that you continue fighting. Keep pushing forward, sis. Okay? Teresa writes again, with all the aggression, should we embrace mercy and grace as people are searching for a solid foundation? Absolutely. And I am feeling, for the time being, do not reply. Just be there. Watch the fruit. Pray for them. Because what's happening is leavening is being squeezed out. It's being touched. The conviction is falling on them. Everybody handles conviction differently. Because the whole point of conviction is to be made uncomfortable in order to create change. And so I believe that many people right now are going through trials where leavening is being pointed out to them. And if they don't identify it as such, then they're going to end up causing a ton of damage. And what we don't want to do is validate negative emotion, but we also don't want to get into a shouting match or argument. Understand what's going on and rise above it and pray for them. Okay? All right. Let's see. Yep, people are a lot of good ones. When do you eat the Passover meal? Do you eat certain foods to represent certain things? We do. Although I will say this, that when my children were very, very little, and when we had three, now we have four, we kept our Passover 1 year super, super simple. And we went with the three things that the scripture required, which was the unleavened bread, the lamb, and the bitter herbs. And we went with that, and that's all we went through. And we went through the illustrations of what each one means and how we're keeping the commandments. But I will tell you this, Haroseth is awesome, and that is it's meant to look like mortar between the bricks of Israel or of Egypt. It is apple, walnut, wine, and a couple other things, cinnamon, a couple other things, all blended together. And it's awesome. It's a tremendous thing. And then we don't do the egg. And we don't have a strong stance on it. We don't do the egg. But we do kind of a traditional Seder, a little bit. Not quite to the extent where it takes 3 and 4 hours, but we do that. And it's a great teaching tool for our kids. And for us, it's a great reminder for us. So hope that answers your question. All right. Let's see. I am, as Sister Elise, I am locked inside my head. I'm having trouble connected. And I think you mean connecting. And know this is a huge part of it. Do you think that there is a certain spirit or trauma? Oftentimes when we retreat into our heads, we are trying to stay away from our hearts and away from our emotions because we're trying to logic or reason our way out of pain when we really need to bring that pain to the Father. And it's not necessarily sinful to do that, but it becomes a defense mechanism. And if you don't go out of that moment where you don't embrace that anger in front of him and bring that to him and bring that trauma to him to be healed, oftentimes you're not, I mean, you're going to be living with this forever, because you're basically, what you end up saying is, I can deal with this better than you can heal it. I can medicate this, or I can handle this better than you can heal it, Father. And so when you get locked inside your head, oftentimes we're just trying to find a foothold intellectually, when really we need to find a foothold in our heart and really come to the Father and say, Heavenly Father, I feel this right now. And this is all, I mean, not all, but when you go to a counselor of any type, really what they're doing is giving you a place, an objective look, so where you can actually engage your emotions and have somebody guide you through them. Who better to do that with than the Father? You know, Heavenly Father, I feel this, and I don't want to feel this anymore. I don't want to deal with this trauma, and I bring it to you for healing, and it makes me so angry, and I feel this. It's one of those things where, you know, you really have to, you know, you're bearing your heart before him and praying for deliverance. So I don't think there's a certain spirit necessarily. There could be one that's making you scared to come out of that, and maybe one listening inside your head. If you engage this, you're not going to be able to handle it. If you engage this emotion, you're not going to be able to, all those lies. But really what that ends up doing is putting the power back onto your shoulders rather than you bringing it to the Father, putting it in his hands. So I pray that answers your question. It's a very short answer to a very complicated question, I know. But I pray that gives you a little bit of direction. So somebody said, Lori says, piggybacking on Tori's question, how do you know the difference between Yah's discipline and a refining trial? A discipline has a definitive, the Father's not going to leave you guessing why you're being disciplined. You're going to know, okay? You're going to know, and he's going to be getting rid of a certain behavior in you, okay? And so for me, you know, there's a big difference between shame and guilt. You know, I've overcome this past few years a lot of shame. But guilt now by itself is an interesting feeling. And guilt is that sign inside me that there is something that I need to bring to the Father and repent for. And I know that if I don't engage that guilty feeling, I don't repent, then the discipline's coming where I'm going to have to go, Father, I can't rely on you, on my own sense of rightness anymore. I need your help to get past this. I need your help to move through this. Now, a trial is where you're going to feel like you're alone and there's going to be really no reason that you're going through it. You're going to have to search him out. Really, discipline, he's coming to you. A trial, you're running after him, trying to find him in the midst of that storm. That's my definition. And so what I would say is that that's kind of the difference. That's a very simplified difference. It may not be the case in every situation. But I can tell you that that is, in my life, that's been the big difference. I've known exactly why I'm being disciplined. Oh, Father, because he points to that guilt for that thing I did. That's the thing he pushed. That's the button he pushes when the discipline comes. But the trial, I'm going, Father, I'm going through this and I need you. I got to do this. I don't know why this is happening. Key phrase. I don't know why this is happening, but I definitely need you to get through this. I need you to protect me. I have nothing to rely on but you. A trial is refining. And so what you have to do is go, Father, I forget everything else. Forget all these, you know, I've done everything I can do, Father. Now it's on you. And I'm relying on you, which is the whole point of a trial, you know. So let's see. Hope that answers your question. Let's see. How we doing here, folks? Ah, yeah. Okay. So Gene writes this, and I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to leap off of your statement here. There's not really a question. I'm going to leap off of your statement because I think we've all been here. Gene writes, being new to forsaking the mainstream churches and being led to follow Yah's ways in appointed times, I found sometimes I struggle between weighing matters out, between being legalistic or being led by the Spirit. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, Gene, that I think every recovering Torah terrorist knows exactly what you're saying, because back when this happened, doesn't mean that I'm slack in my observance, but my nature of observance See, when you first come out of the mainstream churches, let me tell you my story very quickly. When you first come out of this and you walk into this and you're kind of going, man, I went from a realm of no rules to a realm of rules. And really what happened was is that you get a dose of fear because you realize, A, you've been mistaught. A, you know, B, that you have been sinning way more than you thought you were. And so you come to this place where legalism, in my opinion, is based in fear. And legalism becomes, I can't do this or this will happen. Whereas the being led by the Spirit is, I'm turning from this to follow a better way. Okay? Legalism does not allow you to grow spiritually. It does not build faith. It does not cause you to rely more on Him. You really become reliant on more of your own rules. If you're looking for an easy definition of what those two things are, I'm struggling myself to come up with one, but I can tell you right now, I know exactly where you are. And what happens when you first come out, when you came to faith, it was one of those moments where you're going, you know, Father, I realize that I've been sinning a lot more than I thought I was. You lose your innocence regarding your faith. Now you realize that you have the ability or the possibility of being deceived. Even in your innocent thought, when you first came into the faith, if you came to the Messiah in church, you had this. We really need to begin to forgive ourselves for what we did, and for that. Oftentimes, we're so grateful for the Father. We're so grateful for the Father to reveal His Word to us and to increase our knowledge. But keep in mind, when according to Ecclesiastes, when we increase in knowledge, we increase in suffering. And so understanding and navigating that suffering when we come to the Word, you know, I encountered the Word and sin sprang to life. Well, we find out how wretched we are. We find out how much we have been wandering, how lost we've been. And so when we start to find our way home, we have to accept that grace is still part of this walk, but obedience is way more important than we thought. So be quick to forgive yourself when you repent to the Father, because you have not, the repentance is not over with until joy is restored. At the end of Psalm 51, which is one of the greatest prayers of repentance in the Scripture, at the end of it, David concludes, nearly concludes, restore the joy of your salvation. So understand, the whole point of coming to Torah is not to enter into a set of do's and don'ts. It is to realize that He has revealed something to you so that He can fellowship with you more deeply. So that is my answer to that. But I can tell you, I struggle with that a lot when I first came to the faith, to this new walk. So Lori writes, so if my husband is being disciplined, then I could just be going through a trial and vice versa. Absolutely. Most of the time that individually, you'll both go through things and have to confront things in yourselves. But if you continue to walk in it, you know, somebody could be disciplined and you could be going through a trial. I think that's absolutely true, Lori. Both of you could be disciplined. If you look at Ananias and Sapphira, both of them were punished. That's a punishment, you know. So that was a punishment, you know. There was no building you up. That was you lied to the Holy Spirit, which is a scary thing to do. And so but at the same time, discipline, the Father's going to go, you really need to repent for this, and you really need to grow past this, which is the whole point of that discipline, that you grow past where you were when you made that decision to sin or enter into rebellion. Whereas a trial is, the Father is deepening your reliance on Him. And that can happen separately to husbands and wives at different times. So, okay. Let's see. Yep. So Elise says, I'm definitely in the plagues these last 2 weeks. I've been offended and battling my flesh, everything coming to the surface. Yeah, I can tell you that's been happening to me as well. And when it comes to the surface, there was something to be vulnerable with you guys. I have had, not from my parents, but from a babysitter way early in my life, I've been abused physically, and there was a sexual element to it, according to what we discovered when I really flushed it out. But when I started to sit down and write today a little bit, and I wrote the word abuse, I was triggered. I mean, I hate that word now. But I used to not because I was dealing with so much other stuff. Now something new is coming to the surface. Something new is being shown the light. And, you know, it's like, Father, what is triggering this? What memory is my body holding on to? What trauma is my body holding on to that's causing me to react this way? I'm still working through that. I did not get the answer today. I think he was quiet today to see if I would do this. But I'm going to keep praying about that. So all kinds of stuff is coming to the surface. But what you have to keep in mind is what's waiting for you on the other side. He's doing it so that it can be repented of, restored, or healed. And so joy can take its place. So if you lean into it, if you really lean into it with him, key phrase, first, before you go try to work it out with anybody else that's offended you or work through anything, you do not want to bring a spirit of offense to a conversation when you're seeking restoration. But at the same time, you want to make sure that you really flush that out with him in prayer. So it's really tough. I mean, this time of year, I think we're going through a new, at least from my perspective, we're going through a new cleansing process. We're going through a new trial where the enemy is touching things that he owns and the Father's attempting to press in on us to get more of his likeness to come to the surface. And what's under, you know, what's covering his likeness is all that junk that we carry around inside of us. What's covering that is all that stuff that we try to insulate ourselves with and protect ourselves with, the fig leaves, if you will. Like Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves in the garden, we have these fig leaves of our shame and offense that we try to insulate and protect ourselves with. And when he begins to go, you know, I have a way better garment for you than that. That, you know, and when his kindness and grace encounters our shame and guilt, we really don't know what to do with that. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not rational. It's not, you know, you do something wrong, you get punished. That's the way it should be, right? What are you doing offering me grace, Father? What are you doing bringing this kindness to me? The kindness has now become offensive because it's so contrary to what I expect, to what I expected. And I don't know what you're doing, but this is where you go, Father, in faith, I'm going to trust that you want this relationship, that you want this piece of me back, that you want a pure, more pure relationship. And if I'm standing between that and I'm trying to cover myself, please help me to stop. So I pray that answers, gives you a little word there. Account I did earlier today. I'm not real sure what you mean by that, Ms. Vasquez. So we got a couple minutes left. We got about 8 minutes left. So if you have any more questions, let me know. There's some good ones coming through. I can tell that a lot of you are really struggling with some things, that you're going through the things that make this walk real. Keep in mind that trials, you know, we always go, Father, I want to feel you. I want to seek you. I want to do all these things. And our trial comes and we get kind of offended that he went that route. Why can't we have that gentle way sometimes? Well, when I have nothing to turn to but him, he becomes very, very real. He becomes the realest thing on the planet because that's all I've got. And I pray that through this whole process, you know, through this whole process that he continues to show his kindness and grace to you, but also gives you exactly what you need to have a deeper relationship with him. Oh, Elise, you ask a good question. What is the balance between boundaries and being long-suffering? When is the time for a boundary? When there's a lack of repentance on their part. Long-suffering is that I allow you to be human as long as you continue to repent. You know, how many of you would not forgive his brother seven times, you know, if he comes to you and repents, the key phrase. Evil, and I'm not calling whoever you're having this issue with evil, but the nature of evil is this. It is not an abundance of sin. It is a lack of repentance. It's being too proud to ask for grace and mercy. So when I find someone who I have talked to, that I have tried to work things out with, that I have said, you are hurting me, you're hurting my family, you're hurting our relationship by doing this, and they don't repent or they justify it somehow, that's time to move on. No matter how much they're hurting, every person going through what I just said is hurting somehow. It's the, you know, I'm really sorry and I repent to you. I want to get past this and I pray that you'll be patient with me. that takes a lot of courage and strength to do. I don't like being confronted on my stuff. I don't like being confronted when I've done wrong. At the same time, when I quit trying to defend myself instantly and just heard the other person, whether it be my wife or a brother, the relationship gets deeper. If the relationship is not getting deeper because of that repentance and the grace that you're extending to one another, it's time to set up a boundary. And I pray that, you know, it's always a tough thing to do, but a boundary does not automatically mean that you cut them off. A boundary means that, okay, well, you're not going to have access to this in my life. Sometimes you have to, but at the same time, you know, do your best. You know, that's a tough one. That's a good question, Elise. So let's see. Lori says 2x4 upside the head is needed for me to glue in. My mom always said the Father has to spell his will out in bricks and drop them on my head at times. You know, it's one of my favorite expressions I have from her. So this time of year, expect that he's going to work. Judgment and purification begin at his house first. We are not above what the Messiah went through. You know, I am looking for comfort, but if I'm looking for comfort in anything but him, I am producing idols in my life. And he is definitely coming against idols this time of year. He's wanting us to come out of the land of idolatry, the land of you know, the ultimate human power, which is what we have in our age today, is look what all the humans have accomplished. And it's such a fragile system that we've created. It's such a, you know, when you meet the forces of nature, you realize how finite you are. And something, you know, I remember, you know, you find wisdom everywhere. You know, I remember in Shark Week, and they were talking about people who had been attacked by sharks. And one of the things every single one of them said was how fragile we are as human beings. That it was a revelation to them that something was that powerful. We were that far outside of our own element. We were in a place where that we didn't run or we didn't own and we didn't have dominion in the way we hoped we would. And I believe that in the end, I think what we're going to find out is just how fragile everything that we have is. And how merciful, despite the evils that we have among, and they are many, and the abominations in the world are many. Nobody's taken away from that. At the same time, when we find out how fragile this all is, the promise of a kingdom that lasts forever, the security that's going to be in that, the most righteous ruler who will never go corrupt, that is something for us to look forward to, folks. I mean, a king who will reign righteously over us, who we will love and he will love us. He wants nothing but our best interest. He's already sacrificed himself for us. That's a kingdom. That's a kingdom that I look forward to. So when we go through these things in Passover, and when we have our hearts that pour out before the Father, and we bring all these things to him, and we plead the blood of the Lamb on our doorposts, and we do all these things, we are anticipating that day when we get delivered finally and for good. And it's such, you know, I long for the day that the devil is cast in that lake of fire. At the same time, I long for the day that the Messiah, according to the word, sits down on the steps and teaches us Torah. And there's going to be no debate, no question. Absolute authority, this is how it is. How reveal, you know, how relieving it'll be when there is no other choice but pure truth. Not interpretation, not anything like that. Just, that's right. This is exactly what he wanted, straight from the Spirit's mouth. I look forward to that, don't you? Okay, so one more minute, but I'll stay on if we need to do this. I will definitely, I think we're getting ready to close up shop. Let me pray for those who are on the podcast, and then we will go and I'll give you a little bit more time. Oh, never mind. There we are. So I still pray for you folks on podcast. Shalom and bless you.